The Bathers by Gustave Courbet. 1853 was a pivotal year in Courbet's career, during which he clarified his position vis-à-vis the official Beaux-Arts system in France. Courbet had cherished hopes of a career as an official state artist since his first successful submissions to the Paris Salon. He was flattered by early indications of state approval for his work, and by the purchase of one of his paintings, The Ladies of the Village, by the emperor's illegitimate brother, the Duc de Morny. Courbet also continued to proclaim his status as an independent artist, however, and to challenge the academic system with ever more provocative works, such as A Burial at Ornans. Finally, in 1853, Courbet nailed his colours to the mast with three submissions to the Salon: The Wrestlers, The Sleeping Spinner, and The Bathers. The artistic revolutions of the 19th century were all characterized by a common quest for truth in painting. Based on realism, this quest was opposed to the classical ideal which aimed to correct nature's imperfections. The first attempts at reform came via a relatively minor genre, namely landscape painting. Later, Courbet addressed scenes of everyday life. In 1853, he took things a stage further by tackling representations of the naked figure, the academic discipline par excellence. Very few painters dared to defy the Salon in this way, by contravening the most elementary academic rules. Some critics admired the Bathers' handling and technique, but reaction on the whole ranged from disgust and incomprehension to strident denunciation and mockery. The women's unaffected pose, dirty feet, and discarded wrinkled stockings were taken as a sign of their moral and physical filth. The model's heavy, fleshy figure, a far cry from the ideal academic canon, was also seen as highly provocative. The relationship between the two women and the meaning of their gestures remains unclear, and ultimately succeeded in turning away even Courbet's most favourably disposed commentators, such as Delacroix. Contrary to all expectations, the work was bought by a young provincial art lover for the sizeable sum of 3,000 francs. Everything conspired to deter Alfred Bruyas from the folly of transporting the work to Montpellier. His status as a respectable, enlightened art lover, the picture's size, which far exceeded that of a typical easel painting, the opinion of his friends, the picture's own controversial reputation. Bruyas's choice was as radical as Courbet's art. The acquisition sealed a bond of friendship between the two men. Bruyas was furthering the cause of truth of painting, and Courbet, whose financial independence was now assured, was at last freed from his official obligations.